When they give history tests, they've taken surveys and found that in our public schools, kids know nothing about the history of our country. Many of them cannot. Man, remember going to school? They made you memorize the capital of every state? Well, do you remember? No. They're finding out now that kids can't even point to those states, let alone name the capital. They have no idea about the history of their country and how we got here and why. Because knowing history is very dangerous for people that want to be in control of us. George Orwell said, if you control the present, you control the past. What does that mean? It means this. Don't tell people about the past, and you can manipulate those people in any way you want. That's where the church has gone wrong, because the church isn't trained. How did we get here? What happened? What does the Bible say? Forget it. We don't want you to know that. So you have a bunch of clergy defrauding people, pedophiles, everything else. There's an old saying, those who do not learn from the lessons of history are what? Doomed to repeat the same type of errors. That's why I want to take time here. Because we're in Acts chapter 15. How did we get here? Do you know, we're finding out in Acts 15 the church had theological arguments. I'm finding out that theological arguments in my old age are good. Why? Because it causes people, or it should, to learn about what was taught, why it's taught, and what are the arguments. And there are some people that take their study Bibles. How many of you have a study Bible? Well, let me confess my sin. I've got one. And it's the Ryrie Study Bible. Only Ryrie would have the guts to put his name on the outside of a Bible. So when you see that Bible, all you do is think about this guy named Ryrie. But I got his study Bible. And there's been times in which people, the preacher's been preaching, and then the person will come up, "Preacher! My Bible didn't say what you preached about today." And the preacher goes, "Oh, really? Show me." And so what they'll do is, you know, what do you see in a study Bible? You see this line, right? Who has a study Bible today? John, what do you have? Is it a study Bible?
Yes.
Is there a line there?
Yes.
Can you tell the difference between the scripture and the study Bible? What's the difference? Good. Now here's where we go. The preacher preached from the Word of God. Person came up and said, "Preacher, my Bible doesn't say that." And they went and took their study Bible and pointed to the notes. I got news for all of you with study Bibles. You see those notes? If the guy even did write it, those notes, they're all that person's or committee's guess. Now sometimes they can be helpful. But I've now grown skeptical of these study Bibles. Because after a while, you know, you got to have a lot of gall. Think about it. You put your notes on the same page as Scripture. That's a lot of guts. And what you're doing psychologically, and my Bible study has heard this, haven't you heard this over and over again? But when you put that on the same level, there's a psychological thing telling you, well, that has equal authority to Scripture. No, it does not. And that's how churches today perpetrate fraud on people, because they don't let them become aware of the notes do not have the same authority as Scripture. So I want to go back. And I want to review in chapter 15 what's going on. Paul has been preaching the gospel. Paul and Barnabas. Oscar and Felix. Barnabas was Oscar. Hey, welcome. That's Mike. I want more. As I look back now after being 29 and looking back at my 35 years of doing this, it's a lot of compression. I want more Barnabases. I like Paul as a theologian, yes, don't get me wrong, but Barnabas had a way of, he was a nice man, welcoming, accepting. And they've gone through synagogues for the first missionary journey, 48 to 49. People have been saved because of the power of God's Spirit. But the problem is, the people who have been saved are mostly what? Gentile. For the history of Israel, the Gentiles have always been pagan. The Egyptians held them hostage. They got to the promised land and they had conflicts there, and they were told they were the peculiar holy people, and that got to their head. And the problem was, they didn't want to incorporate people like they should. Jesus said, go into all of Israel and preach the gospel. Or what did he say? Go into what? All. So the first missionary journey, finally, 20 years into Jesus, after Jesus, they finally are out there. Oh, my aching back. The Jews are rejecting this. And I told you why I think they rejected it. It's just my opinion. That's my commentary study Bible. By the way, do you know a sermon is an opinion? Did you know? Let me just tell you what. Do not I, Sam Lee, tell the kids that sermons are opinions. You have to know that. The only authority is the Word. If the preacher departs from the Word, it even becomes worse than an opinion. Your only authority is you stick to the Word. So Paul's been preaching the Word, and he's got this terrible thing, and they finally get to Jerusalem and go, wonderful news! Acts 15. Thousands and thousands of pagan Gentiles, uncircumcised dogs, are believing. What about our Jewish people, Paul? No, not so good. Now they got to decide, what are we going to do with these people? I mean, they're uncircumcised, they eat bacon. They have lobster and shrimp. I told them, my son loves lobster and shrimp. And I said, don't you know that's just a water bug? It's an exoskeleton water bug. So if you like, let me give you, you want to go and have a nice lobster, it's a bug. Not only that, it eats all of the junk on the bottom of the ocean. So enjoy your food. And then they say, caviar. It's fish eggs. What are we going to do with these people that are eating all this kind of stuff? Well, I'll tell you what. The Pharisees, the fundamental. Oh, I'll tell you something. We do believe in the fundamentals here. Let me go over this again. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith, but there is a culture of fundamentalism that is harsh, unloving, unkind. Jesus, why did sinners like Jesus? Let me ask you something. Those of you who may not be in church much, why did sinners love Jesus? He believed in the Bible more than anybody there. But when you come to these fundamentalist churches, do sinners feel welcome? It's because fundamental self-righteousness doesn't accept people where they're at. We will accept people where they're at here. And we'll try to help one another. But the key to Jesus was he accepted people. He didn't accept their sin. Oh, that's okay. But let's work. Let's work on it. But the Pharisees wanted the Gentiles. Look what it says. They all got together. What are we going to do? And here's where we left off. It's necessary. And that word necessary, if that's in your, that means morally, theologically necessary to circumcise them. And they keep Moses. Now, where did they get that from? Well, that's what I want to do today for a little bit today. And then we're going to have our reception for Rosemary. What are the Pharisees referring to? Because the Pharisees honestly started out as good people. The Pharisees were, let's get back to the Bible. That's what those people were. But I'll tell you what happens to let's get back to the Bible people. They go beyond that and become unloving, unkind, and they become unaccepting, and they become self-righteous. And the Pharisees were like solidified concrete in that way. So they put down the law. Now, what did John tell us? Law came through what? but what came through Jesus Christ? And truth. You want truth? Well, here I'm going to get in real trouble. You follow what Jesus taught, not Moses. Now, it's not saying that Moses taught something wrong, but why would John say law came through Moses, but grace and what? Why would he say that unless Jesus' words had greater significance than Moses? Because it did. All right, we go. So we want to go back and we want to go into the story. Remember, I talked about history. Remember history. We want to go back and we want to go back to Exodus. Woo! We're going way back. How far back, Dave, are we going? All right, we're in a time machine. We're going back to Egypt. It's 1500 BC. And they've just come out of Egypt. And they're in this desert. 1.5 to 2.5 million people are in a desert. No A&W root beer, no Wendy's, no McDonald's. Not even a 7-Eleven. And God says, I want you to come before this mountain. And I want you to take and you're going to make an agreement with me to be my special people. He called them peculiar. And if ever I saw God's people, there's a good name for them. I know there's a lot of Christians out there that are really peculiar. And I don't mean that in a good sense. By the way, if you wonder why I talk that way about Christians, because I'm tired of the preachers preaching against sinners who know better, let's preach to Christians who should know better. So in Exodus 19, God gives them the what? What's it called? The Mosaic Law, and especially the what? But Ten Commandments, but there were more than ten. How many of you could name three of the Ten Commandments? Here we go back to my original illustration. People have forgotten history. How many of you could remember, name one Ten Commandment? Well, that's great, but I got news for you. The Ten Commandments, that was only the, like, you're going to have cake out there. That was the nice icing on the cake. What's underneath it is 613, are you ready, mitzvahs. Go to Judaism.org, I think it is. Judaism101.org, love that site. Learn a lot. And look up all, he lists all 613 commandments. How did you do on the highway today about keeping the one commandment of thou shalt not speed? Let me confess my sin to you. I put Waze on and it said, police officer ahead, or whatever it says. That's because what? I'm a reprobate sinner. Preachers should admit that first. And it tells me. And he gives them the Ten Commandments. And here's what I love. We're not going to go into it. Just remember, 613. And here's what they said three times. All that God says we will do. Ready? One, two, three. All that God says we will do. All that God says. They say it three times. And he says, okay, come before the mountain. And it's trembling because he's going to scare them. Look, you promised me that you'd keep them, right? All that God says we will do three times. And the mountain quakes, and they're frightened. So God says, I'm going to give you 10, and then I'm going to give you more to Moses up on the mountain. Moses goes up on the mountain to get more than the 10. I got 613. I'll give you 10 now. Come on, Moses. And Moses disappears for 40 days. So the people are sitting around. Go to Exodus 32. People are sitting around. What do you do in the desert for fun? There's no bowling alley. You're sitting there with your mother-in-law having to talk. Your father-in-law and mother-in-law never liked you. You got somebody comes up with an idea. I love it. Now the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain. And the people were tired of talking with each other and their mother-in-law and father-in-law. And they said, hey, I got an idea. Aaron, you're in charge, right, Aaron? Aaron says, yes, I am. This was the religious leader, the Aaronic priesthood. This was the original Aaronic guy, dressed in his garb. Run from, hey, if preachers are dressing like that, get away from them. Run like hell. Because when they dress like that, they're telling you they have some authority over you. Why do you think cops dress? My son-in-law's in a uniform. Why do you think they dress in uniforms? That's telling you they have authority. It's a psychological operation. And why did God give us lawyers? To let the police know that they don't recognize that psychological operation, and the lawyer will help you. So somebody says, Moses is no longer here. I got a good idea, Aaron, worship leader. Come make us a god. What is the first commandment that God gave them? And they said three times, all that God says we will do. What is it? Thou shalt have no other gods before me or make any images. And guess what the first thing they did when Moses disappears? If you don't remember history, you don't understand God's patience with these people. By the way, today, if you preach this, this could be considered anti-Semitic because God is criticizing his people. But God sure did. And I will criticize God's people today because we need to know history. Anyway, and Aaron said to them, that's a lousy idea. Let's not. You just promised God three times. I love what it says. Look what it says in 32, verse 2. And Aaron said to them, tear off the gold rings which are in your ears of your wives. And then for all of you World War II vets and all of you military guys, where else did they get those earrings from? From your, not only your wives, but your, what's it say in the text? Sons. Your sons. Pastor Dave, you mean when my son said, I want to wear a diamond earring? Well, good luck. If he knew the Bible at that point, he could point to that. That's why we have to accept. You want to wear an earring? I did that once, years ago. How many remember Barbara? Come on, Barbara. Come on. Huh? Hicks. I decided one day to walk into choir. I got one of those magnetic earrings from Walmart. That's why I'm always in trouble at the school, because I would have done this at the school, except that I'm in so much trouble, no sense of humor. And so I got this biggest diamond earring. It was magnetic, because I didn't want to stick something through my ear. I got a magnet one, and I walked into choir practice years ago with this big earring, and I sat down, and everybody, hi, Pastor Dave, how you doing? Barbara's talking there, and I'm talking with Barbara, and I'm going like this, trying to let everybody, nobody in the choirs. That's what I liked about nobody in the choir except Carol Fisher, who rebuked me for that. No, Carol didn't say anything either. I walked in, they were practicing, and it was before Bible study, so I walked in and I had it, and it was no fun. If you can't nudge people, it's no fun. You know what I mean? So anyway, your sons, your daughters, men wore earrings. By the way, pirates wore earrings. Are you saying, Pastor Dave, that it's okay for a guy to wear an earring? Well, I'm saying this. Whether they do or not, just love the person. That's all we do. If it offends you, it's cultural. Biblically, they could point here. Then all the people tore off their gold earrings. And what did they do? And here's, I love Aaron as a spiritual leader. Here is what Aaron said. Moses comes back. But by the way, it says the people in verse 6 rose up to play. They weren't playing badminton. They were being here. It was not good. The Hebrew meaning here is far beyond just play. And the Lord spoke to Moses, verse, go down at once to your people. They've corrupted themselves. How long was this? Just a few days after they said three times what? All the Lord says we will do. See, you got to remember history. You got to remember, why did you got to get under the law of Moses? But what were the Pharisees forgetting? They hadn't done too good of a job with that, had they? Okay, here we go. And here is what Moses intercedes. And you know what Aaron says? I love this. We're 22, is it? Well, no, where he threw it, he says, I threw it into the fire and out came, why can't I find it? 24? Here is what the spiritual leader says. I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them tear it off. So they did. Ooh, selective information. And I threw it into the fire because I was mad. And do you know what? A miracle happened. Out came a calf. Have you ever heard preachers make excuses? This is like what they do. Hey, I was angry and threw it into the fire. How dare you? But out came this sign from God, a golden calf. And this is the spiritual leader of Israel, of the Levitical priesthood at the time. All right. We go on and I'm going to just go to one place. Now I want you to go to Deuteronomy. They get the law. We'll do it. How many know what Deuteronomy means? Deutero means second. Namas, law. The second law. What do you mean second law? I thought we were just there and Moses gave it to him. Well, the first generation did what? Didn't keep it. So you know what God said? I'm tired of you people not keeping it. You promised me how many times? You know why they wandered? You ever heard somebody say they wandered in the wilderness? Do you know why they wandered in the wilderness? Because they didn't keep God's law. And for 38 and a half years, technically, God made that first generation go back and forth in the desert until they all died off because he was disgusted with them. So the second generation, who were 20 and below, are now adults. And Deuteronomy is, I'm going to re-give you the law. Why did he have to re-give the law? Because the first generation didn't pass on to the second generation the remembrance. So in Deuteronomy, God gives them the law. And I'm going to leave you with this because I'm going to let you out at 10 of. Here's what God does to the people. And in chapter 27, Moses told the people, chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people saying, keep what in 27:1? Keep what of the law? All. How much is all? How many? Now you know, how much is all of the law mitzvahs? Including shrimp and lobster. You keep it. And here's what he did. He put some tribes on one mountain. Can you imagine this? And some tribes on another mountain. And the one tribe, the tribes on this mountain, were to say how God will bless them if they keep. How many? And what would happen if they don't keep all 613? And we're going to leave you with that. We're going to go over that because I love what the Pharisee fundamentalist did. Here's what we're going to do with these Gentiles. They got to keep what? The Moses law. But the history of Israel is what? Never did the Pharisees ever keep Moses law. But you got to do it. And that's what I don't like about fundamentalists. Why? They'll put the law on you. But do they keep the law themselves? No.